Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go live to Tampa, Florida, and speak with Jo Freeman, a feminist political scientist, writer, and activist, to get an update on today's activities on the first full day of the Republican convention. We'll discuss how Ann Romney might humanize her husband in a speech tonight and what the Republicans can do to reach out to women, given the recent remarks by Congressman Todd Akin and a Republican platform that opposes all abortions without exceptions. Then we will speak with Ed Kilgore, the principal writer for the Washington Monthly's Political Animal blog. We will discuss the dominance of the current Republican Party by white male evangelicals and whether appealing to their hatred and demonization of President Obama will be sufficient to get Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan elected. Then finally, we will examine how conventions have changed following the turmoil of the 60s, when real politics and passions were on display, into the bland, orchestrated coronations of candidates that they have become today. Elizabeth Sanders, a professor of government at Cornell University, joins us. She has an article in the Cornell International Affairs Review Journal, "The War Lovers Again: What the Foreign Policy Advisors of Presidential Candidates May Tell Us About Future U.S. Foreign Policy." Joining us now is Jo Freeman, an American feminist, political scientist, writer, and attorney. She, as a student at the University of California, Berkeley in the 1960s, she became active in organizations working for civil liberties and the civil rights movement. She went on to do voter registration and community organization in Alabama and Mississippi and was an early organizer of the women's liberation movement. She has authored several classic feminist books and articles, as well as important papers on social movements and political parties. She's also written extensively about women, particularly on law and public policy towards women and women in mainstream politics. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jo Freeman. Jo, are you there? I think we've lost her. I'm afraid we've lost this connection. Again, we're trying to do a live call to the Republican convention in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, and hopefully we'll be able to get Jo Freeman back on the line and have a discussion with her. Jo, are you there?
Yes, hello? I am. Can you hear me?
I can. I can barely hear you, but Jo?
I'm here. It's very noisy in the background.
Yeah, that.
Your background. My background is very
helpful. Well, now I can hear you. All right. So you've been at every Democratic convention since 1964 and every Republican convention since 1976. So what is it about these conventions that attracts you?
I must be a convention junkie.
That's for sure. So I'm afraid, you know, Jo, we're going to have to try and call you back again. I know you have AT&T, which is the worst phone system on the planet, and we may get a better connection, but it's very, very hard to hear you. So we will hang up and call you back immediately in the hope that through the Russian roulette we'll get a better line. Again, I'm trying to get through to Jo Freeman in Tampa, Florida. She's down there covering the Republican convention. She has been at every Democratic convention since 1964 and every Republican convention since 1976 convention. Jo, can you hear me better this time?
I can hear you. Can
excellent.
You hear me?
I can. Yeah, let's just keep our fingers crossed. Now, the fact that you've been at every Republican convention since 1976 and every Democratic convention since 1964, have you noticed a change from the 60s when we had real passions and politics on display? Since then, in 72, with the rules changes, they've both become extremely bland, orchestrated events. And my understanding is there is no event more bland and orchestrated than the current Republican convention underway in Tampa.
Well, I don't know about plan, but it's definitely orchestrated. They're all orchestrated. Conventions stopped being places for deliberation and decision-making actually in the 50s. The last seriously contested convention was in 1952. 76, the Republicans almost had one, but it wasn't really contested. It was just sort of contested. There were, however, in both the 60s and the 70s, some serious debates over platform issues. That tended to fade from the scene in the 80s and 90s, and now all the platforms have done an advance. They're done pretty much by the candidate's campaign committee. The fact that we have primaries which select the delegates means that we know who the candidate's going to be well before the convention. All the decisions...
Okay, that's AT&T at work. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to try again. Unfortunately, this is a live program, and there's not much we can do, but hope that we can get through to our guest who is in Tampa, and we are hoping to continue the conversation. Joe, are you back again?
I'm here.
Excellent. Okay. So the as we speak now, Rick Santorum's on. And later tonight, of course, Ann Romney will be speaking. And then the keynote speeches by Chris Christie later in the evening. So Ann Romney apparently has been given the task of humanizing her husband. How do you think she'll be able to manage that?
Well, keep in mind that humanizing her husband is a very traditional role for a candidate's wife. Ever since candidates' wives started to do anything publicly, their primary job has been to tell the public what a good family man their husband is and to make him more human. So that's a fairly traditional thing to do. What's not traditional is to have a primetime speaking role that's hers and hers alone. She's not introducing her husband. She's speaking on her own. She's got a primetime slot. That's extremely unusual. I don't know that this is the first time it's happened, but if it's not, it's certainly close to the first time it's happened. So you're seeing both tradition and innovation in Ann Romney's speech tonight.
Now, is that to suggest that she will have a prominent role as a first lady, more so, say, than Nancy Reagan?
That's a little hard to say. I mean, Nancy Reagan's role was not that out of line with tradition. It was behind the scenes. The real breaker with tradition in the modern course of events was Hillary Clinton, and she got shut down a lot for doing it. Whether Ann Romney will follow Nancy Reagan or Hillary Clinton is a little bit too soon to tell.
Well, Joe Friedman, the other task ahead for Ann Romney tonight is apparently, in general terms, the Democrats are the mommy party and the Republicans are the daddy party, and about, I think, 10 million more women vote than men. So to that, by that measure, the Democrats have an advantage with the women's vote, offset by the Republican advantage with the men's vote. So what's your sense of how Ann Romney might overcome some of the skepticism that I think a lot of women in this country have about the Republicans, particularly following Congressman Aiken's recent remarks and the fact that the Republican platform excludes all abortions without exceptions?
Well, she's not going to have Romney come out in favor of, but she's not going to say her husband's in favor of abortion. Don't look for anything, even remotely, on the issue of abortion. It's simply... won't be there. What she might do is, this is Mike, because I haven't read her speech, what she might do is talk about how her husband has taken good care of the family and how he provides for his children as a way of implying that he will take good care of the country and provide for everyone. Again, that would be the way it would be conveyed as against the Democratic form, which would be a little bit different than that. So, even if the Republicans are the daddy party, it would be the daddy as protector and provider. That would be the image she'd be trying to project.
Whereas the platform portrays the daddy as the kind of Puritan scold.
Well, he's that too. And the Republican Party certainly is a Puritan scold these days.
Well...
But you remember, she's going on primetime TV not to talk about Puritan scold.
Of course.
She's going on primetime TV so the people will feel comfortable with her husband. So she's not going to do this. She's not going to repeat the platform.
So, Joe, what have you seen today in terms of activities outside the convention as opposed to what we're talking about? Obviously, we've got Santorum speaking now and Ann Romney later and then Chris Christie. So anything that you can report on what happened today?
Oh, sure. The thing about both conventions is they attract people and events of a very diverse nature. Everyone comes here to do something. Today I have been to a presentation on our Mexico policy, our relationship with Mexico. I went to another one for the National Foundation for Women Legislators, which was talking about health care as a women's issue. And the National Foundation is a bipartisan entity. It's not a Republican entity. And then I went to a presentation on unconventional women, in which there was a whole series of panels on various women's issues. Those same presentations are going to take place at the Democratic Convention. Sunday and Monday were protest days. There were at least four different marches going on Sunday and Monday. I think I managed to go to two of them. In addition, there were small protests going on at other places. Code Pink, the women's group which formed in response to the Iraq war, has been out at a variety of functions demonstrating its opposition to the war on women, demonstrating its opposition to war, period, talking about a wide variety of issues particularly pertinent to women. There has been a march for economic justice. There was an ice sculpture up in a park. An ice sculpture was said middle class, which was set up to melt. The whole point was of the ice sculpture was to talk about the declining middle class. In addition, there are three cars driving around with cages on the top and toy dogs inside. These are a way of mocking Romney. There are billboards on trucks driving around with various messages on them. There's a billboard near the convention center with quotes on climate change by various Republican officials. I mean, everyone comes here to politics, and the convention is a magnet, and they come here to do their own thing, even if none of them are going to actually go into the convention. So you have an awful lot going on. You asked me earlier why I come to these things, and I guess it's because it's such a three-ring circus. Barnum and Bailey, it's Disneyland, it's Treasure Island, all rolled up into one with a political twist. So you can come here to eat, you can come here to play, you can come here to politic, you can come here to talk issues, and you can do all of those things.
Well, I understand speaking of eating, my understanding is that the lobbyists have literally bought up all the expensive restaurants for their clients.
That may be. I haven't been in any expensive restaurants. but certainly the lobbyists are here in droves, and they will be at the Democratic Convention in droves. They will not be absent from those things. You're going to have a lot of very expensive fundraising parties going on. The Coalition for Faith, which used to be called the Christian Coalition, had a private luncheon, which was closed to press, and then they had a public forum, which was open to press. That's an issue group, an advocacy group, but certainly the lobbyists will be here for anyone that has an interest in government doing what it wants, what the lobbyists wanted to do, will be here as a marvelous opportunity to talk to politicians, to talk to decision makers, and maybe incidentally to talk to delegates who might become politicians and decision makers.
Well,
so,
Joe,
I wouldn't be too surprised.
Well, Joe Freeman, I thank you.
I'm
just going to say, I'm sorry for running out of time, but I thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Again, I've been speaking with Joe Freeman, an American feminist, political scientist, writer, and attorney. As a student at the University of California, Berkeley in the 1960s, she became active in organizations working for civil liberties and the civil rights movement. She went on to do voter registration and community organization in Alabama and Mississippi and was an early organizer of the women's liberation movement. She has authored several classic feminist books and articles, as well as important papers on social movements and political parties. She's also written extensively about women, particularly on law and public policy towards women and women in mainstream politics. And she's been at every Democratic convention since 1964 and every Republican convention since 1976. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with Ed Kilgore. Yeah.